so today I want to talk to you about another key. Okay, we've talked about how we needed to come together and have compassion. We've talked about how we needed to come together in worship. We've talked about how we needed to come together and acknowledge him as our Father, which also is stating our inheritance, which is acknowledging him for who he is, which is declaring who we are as children of God. And so today I want to talk to you about agreeing with the King. Another key is that you agree with the King, i.e., your feelings don't get to vote. Now, you've heard me refer to a sermon that I preached. I looked it up. It was in 2008. So a lot of you have never heard that sermon, and I was surprised when I read it that my style has changed quite a bit. But the truths in the sermon hold, but I got new revelation for you. Amen? And so today I want to focus on the key of making sure that as we agree with the King, we do it with our thoughts and with our words. So to do that, the first thing that we have to do is to realize that what he has promised to us, we have to decide that God himself is serious about his promises. God is serious about his promises. And if he is serious about them, we are able to have them. Say, his promises are for me. Okay. He gave them to us with the intention, and he is the one that has the power to complete them. And so it's hard for me to sit back here. I want to preach this sermon, but I am contained for the moment. I'm trying to behave myself. I have 2 more weeks. And after that, forget it. I'll be running around the building. Okay. It was said of Abraham, and I want it to be said of us with full realization, this. It's found in Romans 4:21. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So the truth is that God was in position to do the impossible, and he will do the impossible, but Abraham had the knowledge and got to the point where he was fully convinced that not only did God say it to him, but that he was going to perform it. Now, many of us would agree that what God says is a true promise, right? Nobody's going to argue with me on that. But we have to become fully convinced that he's also able to perform all of those promises on our behalf. So he has full integrity. He says what he means, and he means what it says. So his words are personally promised to us individually, and the Bible says he's watching over his word to perform it. So in Isaiah 55:10-11, it says this, scriptural foundation. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. God is saying this. The same thing that happens in order for us to live and to have natural life, he said it's the same thing with his word. I send it out, and it sometimes produces fruit. No, it always produces fruit. And it will accomplish a little bit of what I wanted to. No, it will accomplish all I wanted to do, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Who said that? God. Who's backing it? Who's going to make sure it comes to pass? God. Okay, so he is moral excellence. God is moral excellence. He is the standard of right behavior. Therefore, he backs his words with his actions. Amen. He's honest. He's upright. He's ethical. Imagine that. A God who is ethical. Wow. He is divine, and he's not going to do anything against his divine nature. And so we have good reason to trust him. And so I don't know what you're facing, but we have this promise for one. Psalms 107:20, he sent his word, and what did he do? He did what? Oh, yeah. And delivered them from all of their destructions. Okay, so destructions can mean anything. We usually take this for our bodies, but it's for any kind of destruction that the enemy has planned for your life. Anything that he has come to destroy you with, he sent his word to heal you from them, to protect you from him. And so we can take him at his word, and that pretty much covers everything. So then we have to ask ourselves, why aren't we walking in the fullness of his promise? What is the hang up, okay? Because even if we know what the word has to say, and even if we offer up our natural agreement in our mind, we have a tendency to be more moved by our circumstances and learn to agree with than we do to agree with God, our King, over our feelings. Well, does anybody agree with that? Okay. Because if the promises of God don't come alive to us in a personal way, it's because we don't have full assurance. We don't have full assurance from God himself. And so when Pastor Theo talked about that last week, he said we can't even love unless his love, you know, moves through us so that we can love properly. Well, I've said that before, but I never said it like he said it. But the truth is that until you read the word and it unfolds to you with the promises as though it is personal to you, then you can still read it and have knowledge of it in your head without having a reality of it in your heart. Amen? So why? Because we're human. I hate that part. And we have fed our soul so much more than we feed our spirit. So if you figure out how much attention you give to your soulish realm, your mind, your will, your emotions, your memories, you give a lot of attention to that, and then we give this much attention, or maybe this much attention, to our spirit. But the percentages are usually different in how much we feed our soul than what we feed our spirit. So sometimes this causes this problem. We put more trust in our problem than we put in our God. How about that? So we have concentrated on the problem so much that it's stuck in our mind. It has affected our emotions. It has affected our faith. It has invaded us. And it has taken over what we know the promise is. And so we got to get back to the promises and back to the Spirit. But when you begin to believe the lie and believe the circumstances and you don't rise above it, you are giving your feelings a vote. Is that true? Then what happens is our words don't agree with the King anymore. We're not speaking kingdom. We're not agreeing with what the King would say. I mean, if Jesus is the King and he was here with you and you were experiencing something, would he say what you say about your circumstances? Or would he have a different perspective? Amen. Okay, so we have to begin to cast the deciding vote on how things are going to go. So we're going to go back to Abraham, and we're going to find out why he became known as the father of our faith. Okay, he had to learn it. His circumstances didn't look too good, even though he had great promise. And here's the promise: you're going to be the father of many nations. Did he get that promise? But it didn't look like he was going to be a father. He was an old man. Old man. Married to an old woman, right? And so he heard the truth, but he didn't see any hope that it was actually going to come to pass. And that's what happens to us. God gives us a promise, but we get to a point where we lose hope in hope. We don't have any faith left because we don't even have any hope to hope anymore. And so Abraham had a hopeless, seemingly hopeless situation, but what did he do? He took the vote away from his feelings. He went and got some hope. That's what he did. So Romans 4:18 tells us this, and this is out of the Amplified. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, he had no human reason to have any hope. So if you don't have any human reason to have any hope, you're in the same boat as Abraham. But it turned out okay for him in the end, didn't it? Okay, so his natural hope was gone. But look, hope being gone, he hoped in faith. So he hoped against hope, the King James says. He hoped against hope. He hoped against the natural hope, and he hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised, so that numberless should be his descendants. Wow. So Abraham had to go beyond his human reasoning. He had to go beyond his feelings, because his feelings were not going to get him out of the problem. Because hope means this, earnest expectation. So he had to get to the place that he could cling to what God said would happen and have expectations for the feelings of faith that would come, that is born by the hope of what God said that it's going to come to pass. And so you have to decide that you're going to hope against hope. You're going to hope against your feelings. You're going to quit giving them such a vote in your life. And you're going to have to vote for God. Just vote for God. Vote for what he promised. Vote for him. And so get your expectations of what God has said is in front of you. Because if you expect nothing, nothing will show up. And if you expect things to get worse, worse will come. And if you expect nothing, your feelings will vote for that too. And if you expect that nothing good will ever happen to you, nothing good will ever happen to you. Feelings can vote for something all on their own. If you start being ruled by your feelings, feelings have a voice. Anybody ever heard that? Okay, so they sound like this. Well, it's always something. They say this. How come everybody else is getting X, Y, and Z but me? Feelings sound like this. I don't feel like trusting anybody anymore. I don't feel like serving anymore. I don't feel like worshiping anymore. I don't feel like God has come through for me. Well, quit going by your feelings. You have to not care what you're feeling. You need to get past your feeling into earnest expectation of hope and having faith in God again. Amen? Feelings can cause you to vote for isolation. And then it sounds like this. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll eat a worm, you know. Ooh. I'll just sit over here and I'll hide. And I hope that somebody comes and finds me. And then I'll know they care. Well, God cares. You're never alone. What about you? What about you getting past your feelings and reaching out for the help that you need to stop what the enemy's lies are? Because when somebody else speaks life into you, it can change everything. And sometimes your hope against hope means that you reached out and someone said something that alights you, like this morning worship. Amen? So feelings lie. So you've got to learn how to vote against them. Feelings will vote for fear. They vote like this. I'm afraid that I can't. I feel like I can't. I'm afraid that God won't. I'm afraid that they will. Feelings cast their vote for never. You'll never be free. You'll never be healed. You'll never have money. You'll never succeed. You'll never overcome. Your circumstances will never change. I know nobody's ever heard that, right? In their head. The person that is ruled by their feelings, what will they receive? Yep, they'll receive what they said, what they're believing for. You put earnest expectation in all of that. And so you're going to receive nothing. You're going to receive what you've given your agreement to. You're going to receive complacency. You are going to receive your isolation. Go ahead, have a pity party. Feel sorry for yourself. You're going to add to it depression. You're going to add to it increased fear. You're going to add to it bondage and sickness and financial destruction and loss and hopelessness. And if you don't get hope against hope, you're not going to have faith. And so what can you do and what do you have to do? Don't give your feelings a vote and instead find hope in your faith in God. Like the one thing that Satan can't ever get me to do is to lose my hope in God and my faith in God. I love him. I'm never going to stop loving him. He's tried and tried and tried, and he'll try and try and try with you, but he can't take my love away from him. Never, 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 never. And if you love him, you'll snap out of it. But sometimes you need to take action to snap out of it. You've got to do something different. You have to get a different mindset. You have to move into the hope and faith that what was promised is still yours despite the obvious circumstances. Something has to change. Every time somebody comes into my house and they see my walker, I have a walker, I have a cane, I'm like, this is embarrassing. I hate this. And so every time they come in, I go, it's temporary. It's temporary. It's temporary because I have to tell myself it's temporary. Because you start looking at what the enemy does to come against you, and pretty soon the circumstances start screaming louder and your feelings start getting a bigger vote. And so Abraham had to take his vote away from his feelings and give his agreement and his vote back to the promises of God. And I can tell you how he did it. Do you want to know? Yeah. It didn't happen because his circumstances changed. He had to change. And he got to this point, and it was recorded of him in Romans 4, 19 and 20. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb, no unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith when? As he gave. What? Is that not what we were doing today? He got empowered and his belief came alive again, and he got out of his feelings and out of his doubt because he began to give praise and honor and glory to God. Because when you praise him, you begin to experience him. And when you give glory to him, your attention is on him instead of on what your circumstances are. And so when you get into praise, I mean real honor and glory and praise to his name, it gets you beyond yourself, it gets you out of your circumstances, and God will move for you. Yep, he changed what he was thinking, and he changed what he was saying, and he started concentrating on the king, and he praised him, and then God shows up in the midst of his praise. He inhabits the praises of his people. And so God showed up to him. Genesis 15:4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but One will come from your own body, which shall be your heir. You know, he was trying to talk to God about his servant, Eliezer. He's saying, I guess I'll just have to, I don't have any offspring, so nobody's born in my house, so I'll just have to have my baby through him. And that'll be, and God goes, no way, that is not the promise. I mean, I don't know what substitute Satan's trying to offer you up, but he's trying to offer you up a substitute for the truth of what God has for you. He'll try to give you something that'll kind of satisfy you, that'll kind of please you. And you can say, yeah, I did this, or I was able to do that, or God did this through me. And it'll be just 80% of what God promised you. It'll mess everybody else up because you're taking a substitute other than the promise of God. And so he said, no, this one is going to be your heir. This one that's going to come from your own body. Because you're going to have to produce something yourself. It is going to come between you and God. The promise that God has given you is going to have to come out. And it's not going to be somebody else's promise. And it's not going to be somebody else's involvement. It is going to be your involvement. Say, it's going to be my involvement with the promise of God. Yeah. Okay. So God, he knows when Satan is coming after you and when he's trying to get you to give up on the promise. But he also knows that when you are steadfast in your praise towards him, that he will show up and he will give you whatever extra exclamation that you need in order for you to move forward. And so God says, yeah, it's going to come from you. What's going to happen for the whole world that I've called you to do is going to happen from you. Not going to happen from a substitute. Nobody's going to take away the calling of God from Abraham, who was called to be the father of many nations. If God has called you to do something, don't let anybody displace you. You've got to stand in your positional authority. If somebody tries to knock you off of what you're supposed to be doing for God, stand firm. Don't be mad at people. Be mad at the devil and stand firm. So God reinforces Abram with his visuals. And so he takes him outside and he says, now look towards heaven and count the stars. Anybody tried to do that? You can't. I've tried. And he said, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it for righteousness. The thing that is so amazing to me in that verse is this. God shows up because he has inhabited his praises, and he gave him something to reinforce his hope. He increases his faith, and then he counts it to Abraham as righteousness. I mean, how do you beat that kind of God? He does it all for him, and then he goes, yay, you're righteous, because you believe me. And God did everything to make him be able to believe him. That is the Father that we serve. That is the God that we serve. That is our King. That is our King. And that is how we stay in kingdom thinking. Amen? So that's how you begin to view the kingdom of God on earth, is when you get in agreement with him through your praises, through your words, and then he pours out whatever you need so you can get riled up again for him. And then he goes, oh, you're so righteous. You're so righteous. I'm like, yay, God, high five. So it's time for the church of the living God to get in proper order by disagreeing with our circumstance. Stop voting for your circumstances. Stop voting for them. And stop voting for the doctor's report. And stop voting for the news. For the love of God, stop voting for the news. Okay? And begin to agree with God and his promises. Vote for his promises. Vote for God. Vote for what he can do. He can do the impossible. And when you wake up in the morning, you have to have hope against hope. When you wake up in the morning, just have hope. Just decide to have hope in your faith in God. If you don't have any hope in the natural, well, okay, we've all had those days. Then you go, I hope in the faith of God. I am going to hope in the faith of God. I'm going to hope that he shows up, and I'm going to believe him no matter what my circumstances are screaming, no matter what I feel. My feelings don't get to vote today. The word of God gets to vote. And then if you have to do that 1 million times in a day, then do it 1 million times in a day. Change your expectations. When you get up, expect to get well. When you get up, expect to get encouraged. When you get up, expect to be delivered by the power of the living God. Tell your emotions, I'm having a good day. I'm having a good day. And if you don't believe it, praise God. Worship God. Because you know what? It gets your spirit moving, and your spirit trusts God. Your spirit believes God. Your spirit will tell your soul what's up. And it will shift what you're concentrating on. And so the word of the Lord is your inheritance. It's truth. And you have to let your inheritance rule over your feelings. Amen? So let's bring it home with a real case scenario. Yes, I declare it's a real case. Okay, so what if you got a phone call and someone told you that someone left you a significant amount of money? Amen is right. And so here's what they said. It's significant. It's a lot of money, okay? But it's just going to take a little while because we got to get it through all the red tape. And you know what the red tape is. You know, it's got to go through the court system. It's got to go through this. But it's going to be deposited in your account. And then you can do whatever you want to with it. Okay? Would you be excited? Oh, come on. Okay, so you would be willing to wait for the proper time as long as you knew it was coming, right? But what would you be doing in the meantime? What? Planning how to use it. Spending it, in other words. We would all be spending it. We would have that money lined out how we're going to spend it. Okay, and so you're waiting for the proper time, and when it came time, and they said you can go get it, would you go get it? You'd be like, what time is it going to be ready? Because I'm going to be there. And so if you really knew it, you would have already plans for that inheritance. So first, I know you'd be planning on your tithes. That'd be... That was just a little plug for tithes right there. Because you want that blessing to continue, right? And then the next thing you do is dream about the people you would help. And I believe that's true with you people at Liberty. I do. I believe that you would be planning that. And after you plan on all of the people that you're going to help, you still have lots of money. So then you're going to go on vacation. You're going to go on the best vacation ever. You're going to take whoever you want with you. You're going to go wherever you want. You're going to have fun. You're going to have a dream house with no amount of money owed. You're going to have some kind of fine car, whether it's a, I don't know what kind of vehicle you want, but you'd be having yourself a nice vehicle. Come on. We live in America. Okay, so it's accessible to you. But your main focus, and I know your main focus of here, because I know your hearts, is that you would plan how to use this money also for the future of what God has called you to do. Say amen. Amen. And so you would be hoping beyond hope. you would not even care if your circumstances look like whatever it looks like today, but you already had that phone call. You wouldn't care about that. You wouldn't be caring about your circumstances right now because it's all about to change. Right? Your feelings, your emotions will no longer be voting. They're just going to be like lining up with that promise that you got. You'll be like, this is going to turn in 30 days. This is, what if they said 3 years? Okay, 3 years. I'll wait 3 years because everything is going to change. Well, we don't have God's timetable, God's time set, but we know this. His promises are true, and he is watching over his word to perform it. And so your plans for the future, to obey God, to change the world, to make a difference, to leave a legacy, yes, it's already set by God. It's already set. He's already promised you what he's promised you. And so your inheritance goes beyond your present circumstances. Isn't that good? Okay. Bring your emotions into the place where you vote with the expectation because the check has already been written. Okay, Abraham wasn't weak in faith. You should have hope too, because God didn't just show up for Abraham. Ephesians 2, 12 and 13. At the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, that would be your inheritance, having no hope without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. We might have been strangers to the covenant, but we got grafted into that covenant. And so all we need to do is to cooperate with our inheritance given to us by the blood of Jesus. So we agree with God by keeping centered on who he is, and then we move forward past our circumstances. Amen? So it doesn't matter what we feel like. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are screaming. We take action and we do something different. Go to the word, speak to our feelings, take back the ground from them, and vote against your natural feelings, a lot like what we did today in our declarations. I am not moved by what I see. Feelings? I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not voting for you anymore. I am not moved by what I hear. Feelings? Shut up. I am moved only by the word of God. I won't live by sensory mechanisms any longer. Yeah, that was a good one, isn't it? Because the just are going to live by faith. By faith. So there's a lot of things that you're going to hear, see, or feel that will try to get you to change your vote. And if you are moved by them, you're always going to be moved by them. You're always going to be moved by them until you're not moved by them. Right? And so if your feelings move you, you're going to be wavering and unstable, and you know that a double-minded man, you know what they get? Nothing. So your feelings have to not be able to get a vote. So the Bible tells us without faith, you're not going to receive anything. So if other people say you're crazy, don't give them a vote either. That's true. So if they say you're crazy, what are you talking about? That ain't ever going to come to pass. Well, don't vote for that. Don't vote for that. Vote your cast for what God's promises are. Cast your vote, not vote your cast. Yeah, cast your vote. God's vote is to give you life and what? Amen. And it's going to stand. He gave you a hope and a future, and that's going to stand. God's vote is to bring healing to your body. And it was cast as he left his son hanging on a bloody cross for your wholeness. I think that was a big vote that he cast. Amen? So vote with him. Amen. Okay, it's time for us to rule over our emotions. I mean, the body of Christ has to start ruling over their emotions. This is where we have fallen down. This is where we get into lack of faith. This is where we get into trouble. And if you can just get this and quit giving your feelings so much vote, then you can get out of what Satan has planned against you. Then you will show the king to be the king, and you'll walk with kingdom keys in your pockets. And when your feelings show up, use the key of the kingdom of agreeing only with what the king would say if he was here. What would Jesus say? You know, they did the whole what would Jesus do? Well, what would Jesus say? Because destruction is in the words of our mouth, but so is life. Amen? So it's time for us to have faith in our King. God is looking for people who will do exploits with him. Amen? So King's kids do that. They do exploits. And so how many of you believe that we are part of the church that is rising with more than we've ever had before? Okay, who's going to vote for that? Me. How many believe that we are not looking for a revival, but we are the revival? Who will vote for that? Amen. Who will dare to believe that your circumstances are subject to the word of God and that his promises are true? Who's going to vote for that? Okay. Who believes that miracles are now? Amen. Vote, vote, vote. You'll still have an opportunity today, tomorrow, and the next day to cast your vote for your emotions. Just saying. But continue to vote for the king, and you'll inherit the kingdom. Enjoy the results of God moving in your life. So vote no to your feelings and yes to God's will, and your inheritance will become reality. Because after all, the king has written his will for you with blood. Amen. Bow your heads. Lord, I thank you so much for this truth. And Lord, I thank you for how you tied it all together, Lord. And how you let it resonate within our spirit today to overtake our soulish realm and over our minds. So God, we are voting today for you. For every vote that our emotions have cast that are against your promise and against your word, we cancel our vote right now. And Lord, we cast our vote for you. We cast our vote for your word. We cast our vote for your faithfulness. We cast our vote for the King of Kings. We thank you that you'll never let us down, that you're watching over your promises. You're going to perform it, Lord. So, Lord, today, we hope against hope. We're going to not have, even if we don't have hope in the natural, we have hope in our faith in you. You are the one that accomplishes it after all. And so we love you, and we give you opportunity. So if there's anyone here today and you feel like you've been overcome with circumstances, or maybe you don't know the Lord in such a way that he is your king, you want to give him the position of king in your life, because then his kingdom will come to you. And you haven't done that. Maybe you're watching over the internet. Then I want to give you the opportunity to declare that he is going to rule and reign over you and be your king from now on. So is there anyone here that wants to pray with me? Okay. Then we're still going to pray for anybody watching, okay? So say, Father God, I come to you today. And I'm sorry that I haven't always given you the place of king in my life. But I am praying for your kingdom to come in me first. Be my king. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And allow me to represent you well on this earth. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. How many of you are not going to let your feelings cast your vote anymore? Okay. You're going to remember the sermon, right? I expect that you're going to be talking about this sermon, living out this sermon, telling your emotions what to do in Jesus' name. Amen. So go serve the King. I love you. But who do we love the most? And who loves you the most? And who loves them the most? Okay, go cast your vote for him.